closing out the end of the year, I'm going to change from the discipleship message, of course, to Christmas. But, you know, my opinion about discipleship and disciplines and stuff like that, it's truly hard to preach a message that does not touch on discipleship, does not touch on discipline in our lives. But I'm going to give you something that some of you are waiting for this. Others, you will be waiting for it. And it's called suddenly. Is anybody in here waiting on a suddenly? Yeah. And that is a part of the Christian walk. And that is a part of our trust. If you weren't ever waiting for a suddenly in your life, you would not need trust. You just wouldn't need it. You just, you know, rub the bottle and there it is. There's your answer, and it does not work that way. I remember as a kid finding a lamp, and I rubbed it. Hey, just, I grew up in a preacher's home, but just in case. I'm going to give you one passage out of Isaiah 48, and it's verse 3, and we're going to bring it up in the New King James, and then I'm going to say it in the King James because that's the way it sticks in my head, and I would have told Alan that, but that's okay. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. I'm calling this the necessity of suddenly, the necessity / assurance of suddenly. Because if he spoke it, it's not will it happen, it's when it will happen. And you got to hold on to that. And you got to stick around for the suddenly. We live in a microwave society. We've forgotten how to wait for anything. But I promise you, if you go to a fine steak house and you pay $50 to $100 for a steak and you say, I want it fast, and you get that old look on your face like you're a bit constipated because you want it now, and they pop that $100 filet mignon in a microwave and bring it to you with smoke coming off of it, you're not going to be happy. Because some things are worth waiting for. I still believe that. So the King James Version, Isaiah 48:3 says, I declared the former things long ago. They went forth from my mouth. I spoke them. Suddenly I acted, and they came to pass. I love that scripture. Because it produces a mental timeline, and it's not me that spoke it, it's God that spoke it. So he said, I did it formerly, a long time ago, but here's the thing, it went forth from my mouth. So time can come, and time can go, and time can happen, and I can get patient, and I can worry, and I can remember that he said it until I forget that he said it, but the fact is, he said it, so a suddenly is coming. And right behind suddenly is our rejoicing. Right behind suddenly is our relief. And also for me, it's usually associated with a bit of frustration and guilt at myself because I question, would it take place? That's because we're human. So I want to go with that theme that there is a suddenly that can and will occur. And I want to tie that into the story of the Christ child, Jesus. And I want to say it like this. There are people that believe that the birth of Jesus Christ is a New Testament event. Can I tell you that the birth of Jesus Christ was from the beginning? That was the plan all along. It was prophesied over and over and spoken of over and over and over again. And the people, the shepherd, the wise men, they knew that this thing had been prophesied a long time ago, and there was a suddenly that was going to take place. And then when it happened, they took off to go find out and lay eyes on what had taken place. When time catches up with destiny, we call that a moment. Destiny. When you begin to understand destiny, your fret over time will start fading away if you let it. Luke chapter 2. Oh, before then, let's see. Let's go to this, because my phone could die. So the Old Testament contains a lot of prophecies, numerous, about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. It details his birth. It talks about it being in Bethlehem. It talks about him coming from David's line, his lineage. It speaks of his miracles, his suffering, his servanthood, a prophet like Moses, the new covenant. It speaks of his death and resurrection, his pierced hands, his pierced feet, his no broken bones. It's prophesied that he would receive vinegar in his mouth when he was on the cross, that he would be betrayed for silver. And not just that, not just betrayed for silver, in detail, 30 pieces. That there would be a resurrection and that the eternal reign would be God's King, Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. It is so detailed, the many times, it's actually hundreds of times that it's alluded to and it's spoken of and prophesied of, hundreds of times in the Old Testament. So if we do it a disservice to act like it just happened in the New Testament. Yeah, it happened in the New Testament, but it was prophesied that it would happen. We can't forget that. Okay? Isaiah 7 said, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Just that right there is enough. Just that, people that prophesy things and say things, you know, that's still going on today. It's just incorrect. People will tell you, well, Jesus is coming in September of, well, he's been coming every September until he's not come yet. Because people are wrong. People are happy to jump out and prophesy something, but they're not willing to take the judgment of a prophet that got it wrong. You remember that part? Stoning. Yeah. I'll just say this about the coming of the Lord. No man knoweth the day or the hour. Enough said. Sorry, my eyes will get glazed over when I start. I can't stand for people to take the precious word of God and turn it into something that it's not. Because people that hear it as it being the word of God, when it's not the word of God, believe it, and then they're mad at God over something he didn't say. I digress. I think. A shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. But you, Bethlehem, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler in Israel. Isaiah 7:14. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. You remember we talked about that last week? God with us. It's right there in Matthew. It's repeated in Matthew. It's referred to back in the New Testament, back to Isaiah 7:14, what it said before Joseph. Joseph, this thing that has happened to Mary, he's going to have his name. He's going to have a name. The Holy Spirit has done this. His name's going to be Emmanuel. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. His name will be Emmanuel, interpreted God with us. I've said that. Somebody else might need to hear that if you haven't been before, if you've never heard this before. If you ever get lonely, because people get lonely, you can feel lonely, but one of God's names is Emmanuel, which means God with us. That simple name right there, an understanding of that should bring and usher in peace to you, that the enemy will try to make you feel like you're all by yourself. But Emmanuel is God with us. You're never alone. God with us. A few more. A star will come out of Jacob. A prophet like me, said Moses, will come. All the way back to Moses. There will be suffering. He will bear our sins. The blind will see. The lame will walk. There will be a promise of a new covenant that will be fulfilled in him. His hands and feet will be pierced. He will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. That's Zechariah 11, 12, 13, if you want to look at it. 30 pieces, I mean, dead on. None of his bones will be broken, Numbers. Psalm 69, given vinegar for his thirst. Psalm 16, you will not abandon my soul to hell. Psalm 68, you ascended on high, resurrection. Isaiah 9, of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. Numbers, finally, a scepter will rise out of Israel. You see that? This was prophesied a long time ago. There's literally between 200 to 500 prophecies that you could tie in directly and say, that's Jesus. In the Old Testament, before you ever get to Matthew, that's Jesus that they're talking about. That's good news to you, so that you know that God has a plan. He's always had a plan. And when he declares former things long ago, when they go forth from his mouth, when he speaks him, there will be a suddenly that will come to pass, and all the actions will take place that went with the word that he said would take place. Amen. Luke 2. And it came to pass. That means something happened that was foretold of. And what was foretold of was John the Baptist. And it was foretold that John the Baptist would be a blessed forerunner of Jesus. Go back to the previous chapter. I just got to throw this in there. This is the "and it came to pass." So you know what came to pass. Verse 70 of chapter 1, it said, "As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." That's so powerful right there. It's letting us know that all this stuff was prophesied. So, if you go to that beautiful gate where Peter and John were at, and there was a lame man that was there, and people saw him and passed by him for many years, all of a sudden, while they're worshiping inside, the lame man comes running and leaping in and praising God. You remember that? And everybody recognized him and said, wasn't that the lame man? Well, what happened in the middle of all that is that Peter looked at that lame man and said, he fixed his eyes on him and he told him, looking directly in his eyes, he said, silver and gold, I don't have any of that. But of such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That is what it's talking about when it said right there, those former prophecies that went out. Because as soon as that took place, Peter saw that people recognized what was going on. And right then, at that moment, he suddenly began to preach to them Jesus, who had just risen from the dead. And he said, all this, he just brought them right up on current events. He said, everything that you've seen that has just happened and that Jesus that was crucified, he told him, he said, you did it. But it was spoken of that you would do it, and you can be forgiven of this. And he had their attention, and he began to preach to them and tell them that this is the Jesus that was spoken of old times. And here he is, and he has risen for us. I love how the Bible will come together if you will let it. In a glazed eye, last time with the glazed eye, I just heard something this morning. And I heard somebody say something about denominations. And a guy said, there was a question, why are they leaving the denominations? Or why are they coming to denominations? And one that was being left, the guy said, well, people are starting to read their Bibles. Let's do that. Let's read our Bibles. I want to be fact-checked. I want to be fact-checked because I ain't worried about the facts, because the facts are there and the Word is true. And if the Word is true, I'm going to preach the Word. Now, I can get it wrong. I can say it wrong. I've called Noah Moses more times than you can imagine. His mama would probably slap me first thing. That ain't Noah, that's Moses, you know. That's the human part. But I promise you, as far as the accuracy of the Word, I'm after the accuracy of the Word and preaching to you what thus saith the Lord. That's what's got to go forth. Okay, we're going to get to Luke chapter 2 right now. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be registered, should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Even that, we had to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem so that Jesus could be born like the Bible said he would be. So there's this census that takes place, and Joseph, since he's of the line of David, has to go to his hometown of Bethlehem. Coincidence? I don't think so. The evidence is just so overwhelming. Why would you not believe the word of God? So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Everybody was going where they needed to go, but Joseph was going where he was supposed to be, with Mary in tow. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Somebody say swaddling clothes. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped, say it again, in swaddling clothes. See? Lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I'm telling you, suddenly is a confirmation of what he already said. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. What they had heard and seen, they rejoiced over because the heavenly host and angels spoke it to them. And they had heard of it happening a long time before. Verse 15 says, so it was. So it was. More than an event, Jesus' birth was a fulfillment that had been spoken a long time ago. So it was. So it was. Will you just say this word with me? Will you say amen? Amen. Amen has some wonderful meanings to it, different meanings, but it's truly, amen, I guess you could sum it up as saying it's an agreement word. It's a word of agreement. It's a word of agreement. It sets a picture that brings people into unity when the word amen is said. There are places where it was used in the New Testament that talked about things that were confusing. And then it said this. He said, if the people are confused, how will they say the amen? See, amen has been around a long time. Amen has been around a long time. Amen has actually been around from the beginning because one of his names is the amen. On cue. Amen. That lest I risk it again, the amen. Ding. In Revelations chapter 3, verse 14, just tell your neighbor it's okay. He said Revelation. If they start shuddering. You ever had a little puppy that you give it a bath and you got the towel around it and it starts shaking like that all of a sudden? Revelation. That's what Christians do. It's the only Bible, it's the only book in the Bible that says you're blessed if you hear it and you're blessed if you read it, but we get scared of it. Amen. I'm liking these amens. I'll preach as long as the amens last. There they go. Revelation 3, verse 14 said Jesus is the amen. That meant that he is the faithful and the true witness. And he says that he is the amen. Revelation 5, 14 says, to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And then it said this, that the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him and said, amen, amen, amen to the one who lives forever and ever. Amen. See, it's not an will it happen? It's if he said it, it will happen. So all of this culmination of Jesus coming happened because it was said that it would happen. Do you know that you have benefits being a child of God? That all of his promises are not just true, but they are yes, and they are amen. Amen. Turn to the end of Revelation. Very end. Last two verses. This just hit me a couple of weeks ago, October. I was at a conference, and the pastor just started saying something about amen. He just started saying, it is so. It is so. He just walked around and started saying, it is so, amen. It is so. And when he said that, I'm telling you, that thing jumped inside of me, and it got a hold of me. Because I have always been taught, and I looked it up just to be sure it's true. But the other part is true too. It's that one of the main meanings when we come into agreement and we say amen, it is that we are believing by faith that our amen is saying this, let it be true. But as I searched it out, I found that it is not just a statement of agreement. It is a proper response for us to say, it is so. It is so. The amends that took place, all the prophecies of Jesus coming were met with an amen. It is so. And I love that I can look to the end of the Bible. And what is the last word? Amen. It is so. That tells me every word of that Bible is so. And not, will it happen? When will it happen? Because it will happen. Because it said it will. And it confirms it with an amen. But right before that amen was another amen in verse 20. So we have John on an isle of Patmos by himself in exile, all by himself. And he gets the revelation of Jesus Christ all by himself. And he writes it down, being all by himself, because he believed that what he wrote down would be there for someone to read one day and believe, because he said, amen, it is so, and he included everyone in on it. Read. He who testifies, this is John. He who testifies to the thing says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So Jesus is saying, I come quickly. That over and over in the last chapter. He says, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And John says to that, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Have you ever taken a bow as a kid playing in your yard, maybe in your fort? Some of you girls may have climbed the tree and had a, but us boys, we had one. We had a tree house, and my dad helped us put it up there. And it was in a pecan tree, whatever you want to say, pecan. It's in one of those trees, and it was a pallet. And we had gone to the Army-Navy store, and we had bought a tent that smelled like it was the first tent used in the first boot camp of the first soldier. Whew, that thing was rough. But we loved it. And I would get up there by myself, and I would do things that I was impressed with. And I'd take a bow. Now, wasn't nobody else around, because if anybody else was around, I wouldn't have taken the bow. I had that much pride about me. But in my mind, I could see crowds, people that were so impressed with me that the only thing I could do for them to continue the blessing was to bow. And when I bowed, and it was John. And the man John who wrote this was not crazy, because he could see that this word would somehow, even though he was in exile by himself, he knew what God had given him, and he had seen the things of God that had been prophesied in the past come to pass. So he wrote these things in full confidence that all would see them, and he ended it with, amen. It is so. It is so. It is so. What an incredible way to end the Bible. What an incredible way to end it. That culmination, to have one man left and he's by himself and he's writing everything and it looks like the end, but it's not the end, because you just heard it. And if you look down at your phone or your Bible, you can read it, and it's what he said. It is so. Let me tell you, folks, the word of God is so. Amen. Christine, will you come? Christmas message. It's a beautiful thing. If we're not very careful, it'll be just another Christmas. It'll be just another story that we believe in. Yeah, we believe in it. We give it a little sad little clap of lack of appreciation for what it is. Jesus, our Savior, came into this world, did everything that he said that he would do. And this Bible has been preserved and written down for us. I believe it. I believe that you believe it. I'm hungry for more of it. I want the truth of his word. I want to live by his word and according to his word. Why? Because it is so. Amen.